York and the rest of our listeners around the globe. My name is June Stoyer, and I'm the host of the Organic Bee Radio Show. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Zune, and you can also visit our website at www.theorganicbee.com. If you have any questions for our guests, there are many ways you can contact the show. You can post a question on our wall on Facebook, Skype us, send us a tweet on Twitter to @TheOrganicView, or you can contact me directly at June Stoyer on Twitter. Recently, at a conference at the offices of the Italian Ministry for Health, some European Union scientists that had attended this meeting concluded that some of the low and no-calorie sweeteners, such as aspartame, which are currently on the market, are, quote, safe for consumption. Meanwhile, there are still concerns over whether or not such products are safe for pregnant women. In the USA, there are countless print, TV, and radio ads for a myriad of low-calorie or reduced-calorie products that are sweetened with artificial sweeteners as an option to battle obesity, as well as a tastier option for those seeking weight loss. Now, although these artificial sweeteners have been approved by the FDA, there are many people who strongly oppose the use of these chemicals in so many of the foods, as well as even some of the over-the-counter medications. So on today's show, I'm going to be talking to expert Mary Nash Stoddard, who is the founder of the Aspartame Consumer Safety Network and Pilot Hotline, and we're going to be talking about this controversial sweetener. And we're going to talk about the things that consumers really need to know about aspartame and other sweeteners and why you should avoid it. So I would like to welcome to the show Mary Nash Stoddard. Good afternoon, Mary.
Hi, June. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you, Mary. I love talking to people like you. I mean, you have such an amazing background and have devoted your life to educating the public about something that you're very passionate about. Can you tell our audience about your background and how you got started as an activist?
I got started, I guess you'd call me an activist, on this topic of aspartame and artificial sweeteners in general eventually through a personal experience. My husband had a brain tumor. He was 42 years old, and he died in 1985. And at that time, I was looking into what causes brain tumors and that sort of thing. He was not an aspartame user, but when I found out through my research that aspartame caused brain tumors in the original lab tests, then I thought, good grief, this stuff has just been approved and it's out there for everybody, and it looks like we're going to start having a lot of brain tumor cases. And so that's what got me started, and I did a lot of research, and I was a journalist, a broadcast journalist to begin with. I was a radio anchor and did some television and voiceovers and a lot of work in the broadcast industry, and I also wrote for corporate sponsors like Diet Dr. Pepper when it contained saccharin instead of aspartame. And did narration for them and wrote their slideshows to present new products and so forth. So I came into it from the experience that an investigative journalist would have investigating any story that had red flags up, like this one seemed to in the beginning. And from there, I went to Washington under invitation to give testimony to the Senate hearing on the safety of aspartame in 1987, November 3rd. And from that point on, I've been involved in this issue and the research for it and meeting the experts on it and meeting other researchers so that I've been able to help get the word out that there are some risks reported associated with this, and including even 5 deaths reported to the Food and Drug Administration.
How many deaths do you think it's going to take for them to say, okay, this is really not something that we should be allowing in food?
Well, let me answer that question with another one. by saying how many deaths did it take from cigarettes and tobacco for
very good point.
That to be off the market. Actually, it's still on the market today. We know it causes death and strokes and heart attacks and wrinkles and a lot of other things that nobody would have thought it caused. In fact, in the 1950s, more doctors smoked Camel cigarettes than any other brand, and this was advertised in the Journal of Medicine, New England Journal of Medicine, the biggest medical publication out there. So here we are again with another risky substance that industry, like the cigarette and tobacco industry, says is a wonderful, healthy product. In their case, they said it helped relax people and ease stress and lower blood pressure and all kinds of wonderful things. Wouldn't everybody want that? You know, wouldn't everybody want to smoke? So everybody now is told that they should want to be slim and fit and use the artificial sweeteners, which are essentially a free lunch, supposedly, but they aren't really. And so they're affecting not only pregnant women. We have many, many studies, independent studies, that means not influenced by money from the drug company or the manufacturers of the product. We have many studies showing that it can cause a drop in IQ in the fetus. It can cause preterm birth in some cases. So it's something you want to err on the side of caution. I'm not taking away the air that we breathe or the water we have to drink. I'm trying to say to people, if you're having symptoms or if you are pregnant, you want to stop and think really, really hard about what you're doing and putting into your body when you use the artificial sweeteners aspartame.
Now, let me ask you a question, Mary. I recently, over the Christmas holidays, you know, many fans wrote in to see how I was doing and whatnot. I had a really nasty cough, and I was mortified when I went to the local pharmacy to get some over-the-counter medicine to find out that the over-the-counter medications, many of them, are sweetened with artificial sweeteners.
That's,
I mean,
right.
Everywhere you turn, it's in beverages. It's in
chewing gum,
especially that people give to their kids. It's in mints. It's in
toothpaste.
It's in everything under the sun. I mean, I was mortified.
Well, in fact, we encourage people to be tested for certain things, and I think colonoscopy is a pretty good thing to be tested for, colon cancer. And so I decided, on my doctor's advice, to have that done a couple of years ago, and he said, well, here, you go get this medication to drink prior to the test, and so I did. And when I looked at the label, it had aspartame in it. And I told the pharmacist, I said, look, first of all, in my pharmacy records I have that I am allergic to phenylalanine, which is the only thing they really understand. Nobody reacts to aspartame, of course. Don't be silly. So I have to put in there, do not prescribe anything that contains phenylalanine. And, in fact, that's the only thing, June, that they are required by law as manufacturers to put on the label of anything that has aspartame in it, which says contains phenylalanine. It's a warning to PKU individuals and children. So anyway, I said, look, just, you know, no big deal, I guess. I have to have it because I'm being tested tomorrow, but just get me the stuff that doesn't have it. Show me where it is on the shelf here. And he said, well, we don't carry it. You can order it. And he said, I can call around and see if any of the pharmacies have it, any of the other. And this was a nightmare the night before my test was scheduled, you know. And essentially, they don't care. They put it in infants' formulas. And when James Turner and I met with the FDA in 1998, I believe, Dick Armey forced the FDA to meet with us because they weren't meeting with anybody. And it was my second meeting with them since 87. So anyway, when we met with them, we said, please tell us why aspartame is included in children's formulas, medication formulas.
Mm-hmm.
Let me be clear. And they looked at us and they said, well, nothing else is homogeneous, which means nothing else would make a smooth mixture. It couldn't be. They couldn't combine sugar with whatever. And, of course, they thought saccharin was just way worse than aspartame. So, essentially, they were putting it in all the liquid medications for children, the antibiotics and over-the-counter stuff. In fact, in the late 90s, when I was asked by 60 Minutes, I'd worked with 60 Minutes in New York for 3 years, and we finally got something on the air about this issue. And they recommended us to the 60 Minutes crew in Australia. And so they flew me to Washington to meet with them the same day I taught a class on this at UT Southwestern Medical School in Dallas, Texas. It was the first time any non-MD had been paid to teach a course there to the doctors and students. So anyway, one of the things they wanted me to do is to go through a supermarket and pick out off the shelves all the products that had aspartame. And they said, well, now, there aren't that many, so you just pick two or three of each thing you're putting in the cart so we can have a big, dramatic visual for our show. Mm. And I said, oh, you'll be surprised. I said, I don't have to do that. I can get you a cart full without it. And I did, and much of it was children's products, children's drinks and juices and medications and gums and vitamins for kids. And then there were all the things for adults, as you mentioned, the gum, the diet drinks, the yogurt, the everything. And so they were shocked when we finally got the cart filled. And I think it was about, at that time, it would have been a lot more now, but at that time, I think it was about $500 worth of groceries as we checked out of the Georgetown Safeway store. And their jaws just dropped. And so, of course, they did a phenomenal job of their expose of aspartame and all the risks associated with it. So it is in children's medications. It is routinely recommended by registered dietitians for pregnant women. I have RDs on tape, on video, and on film saying to an audience filled with people, oh, yes, we recommend this to all of our patients and our clients, pregnant, children, infants, everybody, because it's so safe and so much better than what they would have had otherwise. You know, we want to avoid sugar at all costs. And so here you take sugar away from people. What are they going to put in that place? You know, if diabetics can't have sugar, what are they going to have instead? And I'm here to show people that there are plenty of healthy, natural alternatives to sugar and artificial sweeteners. And I can certainly correspond with anybody and answer questions on these particular topics and give you alternatives like stevia, honey, maple syrup, rice syrup, agave syrup, and many other things that are acceptable and more than acceptable. They're healthy alternatives. And people like Dr. Oz agree with us now.
Now, speaking of celebrities, it was made public that celebrity chef and author Paula Deen has diabetes.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on this whole subject? I mean, there have been so many people, especially on Twitter, that were furious. They were just like, you know, why is this woman pushing all these unhealthy foods? And
right. Right.
You know, all these other, yeah.
Well, first of all, I think she is a very amazing woman to have done the things she's done and weathered the storms of life and all the things that have happened to her and come out a winner. I wish we could get to her. I'm a big fan of hers, and of course, I don't cook with the butter. I don't fry things. I don't use the sugar like she does. If I do, it's all organic and USDA certified.
Now, I wonder if she were to make everything organic, the fact of the matter is she loves to cook. She loves food. And, you know,
right.
There's nothing wrong with
and
that.
And I do, too. I do, too.
Not
yeah.
Me, too. the choices that I make, I use organic foods, and
right.
I do not eat meat. I will not eat meat. But the bottom line is that I don't sit there, and especially with all the culinary programs that I taught back in the day, I wouldn't push. It's one thing when you're trying to teach people a specific type of cuisine, or if you're focused on specific type of food item that you're trying to make, you know, a recipe, what have you, whether you're teaching somebody how to make ice cream, I always try to include some healthier options, but let's face it, now ice cream isn't something that you should eat on a regular basis.
Absolutely not.
Whether you make it vegan or non-vegan, it doesn't matter. Ice cream is still ice cream. It's something that should, it's a treat. It's not something that you have on a regular basis.
A huge treat, yes.
But
yes, and I get the organic ice cream bars and have maybe one a month.
Well, if you are in a position where you're teaching people and they're watching you, I mean, you know, that's how she made her money, and she's a really great chef, no doubt about that. But
yes, she is.
Criticism is that the choices that she's made in regards to the fact that she is diabetic. I don't know. I kind of wondered maybe she was hesitant in coming out about her disease because she didn't want to lose her contract with the Food Network. I mean, that's a big thing to consider.
I don't know. I wish I knew what was in her heart and mind when she made the decision. I do know. I've been a fan of hers since her program started on Food Network. And I have heard her say, I've personally heard her say on TV that she starts every day with a diet soda. In fact, she laughs about not being able to wake up without it, you know, and her producers know it. So when they come in to wake her up and do her hair and makeup and all for her taping, they bring plenty of diet soda with them, because they know that'll do the trick, you know, for her. And I believe this was pre her being diagnosed as a diabetic. So I know she uses the artificial sweeteners, and probably more than we know. Plus, until recently, nobody knew she also was a smoker.
Wow,
she announced,
that I didn't know. I don't know. I'm very excited. Anybody that knows me knows I don't care who it is. Even when I went to China, I spent a month in China, and I was meeting with government officials, and it was kind of amusing. the whole entire time, all the people that I was meeting with were instructed that I have severely sensitive system, and you cannot smoke around me. And I mean, very accommodating. There were people that tried to sneak a cigarette here and there, and I just made such a fuss. I'm just not about to have my the air that I have contaminated right in my face with cigarette smoke. And any smokers that are listening, be my guest. You want to smoke yourself to death? Be my guest. Don't do it around me.
And I feel that same way. In fact, I smoked for about 3 or 4 years in my early, early 20s before I had a family, started having a family. But I do believe that smoke has formaldehyde in it, which aspartame has formaldehyde as a breakdown product. So you're getting a double dose of that toxin. And so, you know, and we also know, June, that aspartame affects the pancreas. Pancreatic cancer was one of 4 or 5 cancers that aspartame caused in the laboratory prior to being approved by the FDA, and it was pushed through the FDA by, as we know now, a very powerful head of the drug company that was producing it, and that was Donald Rumsfeld. So it was pushed through. It violated the Delaney Clause, which says nothing can be approved that has been shown to cause cancer. They closed their eyes completely to that. So we say it was approved illegally. And actually what we're asking for, June, as the Aspartame Consumer Safety Network, is that it be recalled and retested as a drug. We're not saying ban it. We're saying it's never going to pass that test. It was discovered as a drug for peptic ulcers. And they knew it wouldn't pass the muster as a drug because those restrictions are more stringent. Plus, doctors, after approval, have to report adverse reactions. They didn't want that to happen. So Rumsfeld pushed it through and called in all of his markers and got it, I think, illegally approved. And it's not just me. It's a lot of people feel that way. So it was on the market in the first place under false pretenses and as a political thing, not a science issue at all. I mean, it has nothing to do with science and everything to do with public policy.
Has everything to do with making the corporations wealthier.
Yeah, making money. And, you know, I'm not against people making money. I think it's a wonderful thing. I wish I knew how to do it.
Money is fantastic, but what I'm opposed to is corporate irresponsibility.
Exactly.
Lack of
ethically
for a product that your corporation is producing. And
that's where
I draw the line. I mean, I think technology is fantastic. Obviously, I'm a huge fan of technology. Otherwise, I wouldn't have the wonderful fans that I have as well as the success of this show. And, you know, my friends at these large companies understand that because they frequently visit theorganicview.com. And, you know, fellas, ladies, I welcome you anytime if you care to have an organic lunch with me, be my guest, because I know you're not eating that genetically modified stuff.
Oh, June, what a troublemaker you are.
I know. So Valentine's Day, folks, you want to send me some organic flowers, be my guest. I'm totally.
Listen, you mentioned celebrities a while ago, and I have a long list of celebrities, unfortunately. I mean, it's a sad change of topics here, but celebrities who've been affected by aspartame, we believe, and many of these were spokesmen for the diet sweetener industry, which include Michael J. Fox, who has Parkinson's, of course, didn't before he was a spokesperson for Diet Pepsi. Michael Jackson, well, we all know, he was the big spokesperson celebrity for Diet Pepsi. The FDA director, Arthur Hull Hayes Jr., who approved it in the first place, illegally, we said, died not too long ago of pancreatic cancer.
Wow.
Unfortunately, Geraldine Ferraro had leukemia, Patrick Swayze had pancreatic cancer. Dick Cheney has heart problems, and he's a very heavy drinker of the diet sodas and drinks. One White House spokesperson, Tony Snow, he used to be with Fox TV in New York, and then he went to Bush's White House as either Bush or Clinton as spokesperson, and he died of a brain tumor, which we know is caused by aspartame. And ironically, I have a picture of myself with him at the brain tumor conference in Washington, where we presented all the evidence of a 10% rise in brain tumors since the advent of aspartame. So many celebrities have been affected. Some have had our information sent to them, and others haven't. For example, Bill Cosby never had a reaction, but a friend of ours sent him some studies showing that aspartame caused birth defects and harm to people, including many children. And would he please refrain from advertising the sugar-free Jell-O products? And he never wrote back, but we never ever saw Bill Cosby, who was the spokesperson for that particular product. We never saw him advertise a sugar-free product again after he got that letter, and that was back in 1987 or 88.
Honestly, I think I wouldn't be surprised if, maybe because of his contract, the clever lawyers put it in his contract that, you know, in the fine print, of course, that he could not elaborate or say anything about the company. I'm sure that that was kind of like one of those moments where upon revision of the contract, it's like, oh, wow, great, look at that. I can't even speak up against it because they'll sue my pants. And that's basically something that would not surprise me. I mean, it happens so often. Unfortunately, many of these celebrities think that they're doing, you know, they're endorsing a product that they like, what have you, and then when they find out, by the way, this is not what you think it is, they can't do anything about it, and their hands are tied.
That's right. It's amazing how that works. In fact, I have testified in court as an expert witness on this very topic, and I'm one of few people who've ever done that, you know. And most of these cases that are brought against the company have either been settled out of court or dropped because the people bringing the cases were intimidated out of it. We have well over a dozen lawsuits that have been legitimate. These weren't frivolous lawsuits. Now, there have been some frivolous things filed since that time, class action suits and things like that, which we're against at this point, because we think that mixes people with headaches in with people who died and people with brain tumors and all that sort of thing. But that's a different story. But yeah, we have many reports of legal cases being settled out of court for, we're assuming, very huge amounts of money. And they've written that into the price of the products, I believe, is lawsuits and defending themselves. And they have every right to have every legal defense at their disposal, which they do. They have the manufacturers have major law firms in every city to defend any case that comes up and to buy off the plaintiffs. And if that doesn't work, then if you lose your case, you know, if you're unlucky enough to lose a case against Monsanto, let's say, or Coca-Cola, PepsiCo, whoever. And by the way, our fight is not with Coca-Cola or Pepsi or any of those manufacturers. It's with the FDA. We lay this strictly at the feet of the Food and Drug Administration for approving it. They're just using a legally approved product. But when that happens, it's up to the plaintiff to prove all of this beyond the shadow of a doubt. And if the plaintiff loses, then they have to pay court costs and damages and all this other stuff. So who's going to take this to court, really, seriously?
No, I know. It just amazes me that when you look at who's watching us and who's defending us, mm-hmm. who do we really have? I mean, it's
yeah.
interesting. I just received a comment from someone on Twitter who's asking, what does the FDA really stand for? Food and Drug Administration does not seem to be it's kind of obnoxious. Food and Drug Administration does not seem to be the appropriate, I guess. Their comment is basically FDA, for the most part, stands for Fatal Drug Approvers, Fibbing
oh,
Doctors
dear.
Anonymous, Fraud Association. Yeah. Thank you for the tweet. Very funny.
Yeah, I understand that people want to be angry over this, and I would have every right to be, knowing what I know. And, in fact, I didn't discuss the fact that I had a reaction to it when I joined Weight Watchers and started using the product because they recommended it, and I started cooking with it, and I cooked the puddings, you know, that you get in a box, and used diet soda to bake apples with, which I thought was so healthy. It was a Weight Watchers recipe. So anyway, bottom line is I developed a life-threatening blood disorder
wow.
and was diagnosed with eosinophilia myalgia syndrome, which I quit using aspartame on the advice of my doctor, and I was formally diagnosed with EMS, which is like, it's the deadly form of fibromyalgia. And so I had a tremor that started at that time, and here 27 years later, or 28 years later, it's still with me and getting a little bit worse. So I have a personal reaction and have, I think, probably as much right as anybody to be angry about it, but I'm not, and I don't call the FDA names. That's just not the way I choose to address this, and people have to do what they feel best and most comfortable doing,
mm.
but we've never gotten in their face. In fact, the head PR person at NutraSweet said, I'm so misinformed, but a really nice lady, you know, and I guess he thought that was demeaning enough to be insulting to me. But
you're misinformed, really?
I've tried to. I'm sorry, what?
Did you ask how you're disinformed?
No, I try not. Listen, I don't, June. I don't interact with these people unless they ask me a question and I will answer it. In fact, when I had an appearance on ABC TV with the doctor from NutraSweet, Dr. Moser, as we were going into the studio, I said, well, you know, welcome to Dallas, Dr. Moser. I hope you like our city. And what do you think about the weather? Did you have a nice flight? And we chatted briefly as human beings. You know, I know he's a grandfather, and at the time I was not a grandparent, but still we had certain things in common. And I wanted to get through to these people that I'm not this monster with horns trying to put them out of business or anything.
You're not.
No. No.
Eric, say it.
Yet,
no, come on. You know, I
listen.
An activist should have horns and all sorts of stuff.
I know. And some of them do. But I don't want to be one of those people. I want to address this in a rational, non-radical, non-conspiratorial way. I think it's, if anything, a conspiracy of greed and avarice. You know, it's people wanting to make money no matter what and closing their eyes to the ethical questions involved and to the fact that it may be legal, but is it really ethical to put it in kids' stuff? And by the way, one of those things, June, those questions about, well, why don't you just stay out of this and let adults decide what they want to eat and drink and, you know, if they want to destroy themselves with cigarettes or aspartame, let them do it. Well, that might be fine except for the fact that nobody gives cigarettes to children. And people routinely not only give aspartame products to children, but they're encouraged to do it by their registered dietitians, by the media.
Now, registered dietitians, don't get me started, especially the ones that don't understand what organic is about. And then if I hear
That's one more time
how there's no difference between, there's no nutritional difference between organic foods and conventionally grown foods. Point blank, it's a whole, I don't know how many hours worth of talking that can be done, but the bottom line is that what it boils down to is, do you wish to ingest pesticides and other chemicals that are not necessary for you to be eating and are toxic to your health? Bottom line. That's what you're saying with conventional. Point blank.
And the genetically modified foods, if you eat the USDA certified organic, you shouldn't be getting any of those in the products you buy. And that's a frightening thing too, the GEs and the GMOs, because not only is it pesticides, but it's maturing a salmon, for example, in 6 months rather than 12 months. It's mixing, gene splicing and mixing species, and
Let's not forget the virus that's used in order to create that GMO. You need a virus in order to do it, and people don't understand that you are ingesting a virus. When they get hit with a computer virus, they're up in arms because their computer is out of control. Well, what do you think you're going to do when you ingest a virus?
What a good analogy. I love that.
And
Can I use that?
Mary, you know, I get, you know, that's why they call me the CEO, the chief of everything officer.
Well, that is genius. I love that analogy. Thank you.
Thank you. Some of my fans call me Junius, but, you know, I'll take it. Anyway.
Okay. Junius, genius, you know. Potato, tomato.
Exactly. Just as long as my tomato is not genetically modified, but
absolutely,
or
many are.
For team. Now, I have a question for you. You have NutraSweet, you have saccharin, you have aspartame.
Right.
The artificial sweeteners. What's the bottom line?
Okay. The bottom line is quality of life versus quantity of life, in my opinion, and I over the years, I've come to this decision. Quality of life means white sugar, white flour, refined foods, certain other things like saccharin and Splenda and other ACK and other artificial sweeteners and things. That's quality of life. That means the quality of your life may possibly be diminished by using these things, but probably not going to kill you, at least not right away. But aspartame, on the other hand, is a known carcinogen. It does cause cancer in the laboratory. We can prove a 10% and by now probably more significant rise in things like brain tumors, gliomas, and astrocytomas, things like that, that aspartame caused in the laboratory. So it's quality of life versus death, you know, how long do you want to live? Somebody said, well, how many diet drinks is it going to take to kill me, and how many can I drink during the course of a day? And one of our pilots who had seizures on aspartame in the cockpit said, well, how many rattlesnakes do you want to bite you during the day? You know, and we get crazy about
it. Mary. I mean, why would you knowingly want to consume something that is toxic, that is bad for you? People seem to play with fire. It's like, well, you know something, I don't need to worry about that until I have to. And that's the bottom line. That was basically my argument with the consumption of organic foods and other organic products, that until the consumer had a reason, meaning a health crisis or some type of family crisis where they had to be concerned, that's when they started to pay attention, because we are brainwashed as a society thanks to the clever marketers that are pummeling our heads with these ads for all sorts of things. I mean, look at the chemicals, the pharmaceutical industry, where they have all of these wonderful ads for people that are walking in meadows, walking on the beach, everything's peachy keen, and then you hear the voice that goes through the whole list of side effects, you know, and I mean, side effects are scary, and yet people buy it.
Well, people say, oh, my gosh, everything is going to kill me. So why can't I just enjoy life?
Well,
and they also, one of the least favorite expressions I hear all the time from people, a lot of people I like and respect a lot, say everything in moderation. Absolutely not everything in moderation. You wouldn't say that about arsenic. You don't say that about a toxin. You want moderate amounts of a toxin in your food every day. If they knew what they were saying when they said everything in moderation, they, believe me, they wouldn't say it.
Well, unfortunately, people need to get that to get to that point where they are afraid because they have some type of health crisis or concern where they have to think about that. I mean, It's sad that it has to be like that, but that's really how it is.
Absolutely. And here is the latest, greatest book on aspartame. It just came out, written by a friend of mine, and I get nothing out of promoting it or helping him get the word out. But Woodrow Monty is the world expert on methanol, and his book has been written over a period of years. I first knew Monty in 1987 when we were all preparing to give testimony at the Senate hearing on aspartame safety. And he has now written this book after all these years. He said, what do I have to lose? And it's called While Science Sleeps. And if you just Google that, it's available on Amazon.com. I can tell you how to get it or whatever, but what a great book. I mean, there's a free chapter 12, which probably is the most important chapter in it, on a website, which my Stoddard's POV blogspot has helped people understand and see where to get this. But While Science Sleeps is a wonderful resource book. And easier to read than our book, Deadly Deception, Story of Aspartame, although ours is a pretty good toxicology source book. This really says it all. And I highly recommend While Science Sleeps for anybody. And it's not just a scientific book, although it's perfectly referenced with scientific studies all the way. But it tells people what's going on just from a layman's point of view. You know, you don't have to be a scientist or a researcher to get it. And it's not that expensive, and it's well worth it. So do that. Go to our website, aspartamesafety.com, and on Twitter, we're Mary Stodd on Twitter. We have tweets every day, hopefully, if I can get around to it with everything else. But please do get in touch with me if you have questions, if you have symptoms or we don't diagnose anything, obviously, but we do help you work with your doctor or your child's doctor, your pediatrician, to help solve some of these questions. And we're out there to help people. We're not out there to stir up a lot of trouble, and that's just
that's not my job.
Yeah. I'll leave that to the experts.
Now, Mary, I have to ask you a question in regards to this whole thing with these European Union scientists.
Right.
How is it that the conclusion that they came up with that these low and no-calorie sweeteners such as aspartame, which are currently on the market, are safe for consumption? How is that possible that they could do with switcheroo?
Well, look at who's voting. First of all, if you scratch the surface and do as we've done, and I can't give you all the names now off the top of my head because I would probably misspeak, but we can email anybody names and who they're connected with. But almost every member on the committee is connected, just as the FDA officials are connected with industry. You know, the FDA director went to work for Monsanto, G.D. Searle's PR firm, after he approved aspartame, and many others have hopped back and forth. So these people who were voting on aspartame safety just essentially shrugged it off and said, well, we're going to rubber stamp the U.S. Food and Drug Administration because we don't want to mess with it. You know, it's not our problem and not our place to go against what the World Health Organization, the FDA, and all these other magnificent-sounding, important entities are saying is fine and safe and healthy. So ties to industry, if you look and see who funds the study saying it's safe, and even though it's a foundation or like International Life Science Institute or whatever, you see where their funding is coming from. It's coming from the manufacturers every time. So
now,
money talks.
Now, we have a question from the audience. This is coming from Stephen. He'd like to know about Trevia and, you know, what's the difference between Trevia and Stevia, and, you know, which one is safe to use?
Well, the pure stevia, the less adulterated and refined and changed anything is from nature, the better it's going to be. I believe Trevia is probably not killing people, but we don't know what's in it besides stevia, and we don't know the refining process that's used in it. So I cannot in good conscience recommend it. It's not that I know it's horrible. It's just that I don't know enough about it to recommend it.
I've personally grown stevia. I don't care for it. Because I remember on Twitter, some of the folks from Trevia, or however you pronounce it, contacted me, and they said, well, why don't you like it? And I said, I've grown stevia, and I'm not crazy about that. And if you think that I'm going to support your stuff, you're sadly mistaken. beekeeper thing, I do firmly support the beekeepers and all their efforts.
Oh, honey, yes, honey is great.
Yes.
In fact, I have honey anytime I want anything sweet. I use honey or USDA organic maple syrup primarily. And I try to limit sweetness because of the buccal absorption issue and the sweet taste issue and the pancreas. Almost anything artificially sweetened is going to be perceived by the body as sugar, essentially sucrose, in the mouth because it tastes 200 times sweeter than sugar, let's say, when aspartame is first ingested. And then when it gets into the digestive system, the pancreas has to, this is very simplistic terms, but they have to it has to backpedal and say, oops, this is not the real natural stuff. This isn't honey or maple syrup, tree sap. You know, this is something else. Even stevia is natural, the plant, and you may not like the taste of it. I'm not a huge fan of licorice or the taste. But
I don't think it tastes like licorice. I just think it has, you know what it is? It has this aftertaste that just does not resonate with me. And I just did not like it. It's just not something that, and once again, I've grown it. It's not something that resonates with me. But I will never consume anything that is artificial. My body's ultra sensitive, and it's interesting with anything with saccharin or aspartame. I have certain family members that will get headaches immediately. And
I wish that had been me back in the mid '80s after my husband died, and I went to Weight Watchers. I thought that was something healthy I was going to do for myself. I wish it had given me a headache immediately, but mine was gradual, and I learned to regret it. But at the same time, that was something that I look back on now and think, well, I guess I'm glad it was me and not somebody else, because I'm such a stubborn person. You know, if I see red flags thrown up in front of me, I want to investigate and find out what they are and why they are there and what's going on exactly. And when I kept getting weird answers from people like the FDA when I called them, one woman I spoke to said, oh my goodness, I'm sitting here drinking a diet drink now. There's nothing wrong with those. They're wonderful. And in fact, she gave me to another woman who said, oh yeah, she said my daughter was losing weight to get into her wedding dress, and she drank a lot of it. And I said, and nothing happened? She didn't get sick or anything? She said, well, she did develop a brain tumor.
Brain tumor?
This was in 1986 when I called
them.
That's
nothing to write home about, you know?
No. And I just got these weird, crazy conversations with the Food and Drug Administration people, and I thought, oh, there's something really wrong here. They're defending it too much. I mean, why would they defend it as if it were their product, as if the FDA churned out the stuff, you know, as a manufacturer?
Well, the bottom line is that when you have some of these very powerful corporations that are breathing down your back, and you've got a family to feed, and you have a pension, some people will cave and they don't care, because they're basically looking out for themselves. And, you know, unfortunately, that's how most people are, unfortunately. Now,
in regards to the
comment about, or just to touch upon the diet soda issue, another comment from Twitter, this is from Will. He'd like to know if aspartame stimulates hunger. He said that he read something in which the diet beverages.
Yes.
People tend to think that the artificial sweeteners will slow down their metabolism, but in fact, he said that they will actually make you fatter by consuming diet beverages.
They absolutely do. And in fact, the scientific explanation for that is that the phenylalanine in aspartame, which is 50% of the molecule, the phenylalanine breaks down and blocks production of serotonin, which is the neurotransmitter that makes us feel good. It makes us know that we're satisfied after we have a meal. It controls satiety, which is the term for satisfaction when you're eating something. And so serotonin is blocked, and when that happens, people become aggressive. They become craving of foods that they don't need. It's the carb cravings that it sets you up for, and a lot of other things. Plus, it makes you think that you want more sweet taste and more sugar and more artificial sweeteners, whatever it is you're using that has a heightened sweet taste. In fact, the new aspartame product called Neotame, which is this monstrous molecule, 13,000 times sweeter than sugar, 13,000 times sweeter, sets people up for all kinds of problems in that respect. It does set you up for cravings and injury to the organs of the body. So, yes, people lose weight. I mean, that's one of the side effects that people are writing in and letting us know or emailing me and saying, my gosh, who would have known I would lose weight when I got off diet drinks? And we've got the Framingham study authors. I read that study, which showed that regular and diet drinks affected people the same way in weight gain. And the people on diet drinks didn't have any more weight loss than people on the regular. And they couldn't describe that or explain it, couldn't figure it out. And yet there are scientific studies that I can email anybody who wants them showing the mechanism behind that. And, yes, that's very true. And thank you, Will, for that question. I appreciate it.
Mary, one of the things that people have been asking about is, in addition to the obvious, the mm-hmm. beverages, the candy, and now, of course, you have the over-the-counter medications, what are some of the more uncommonly recognized products that are sweetened with aspartame that really, you know, it just makes your head
right.
spin as far as why they do it? Can you just talk about that?
One of the most incredible products out there is low-fat yogurt with aspartame in it. And there was one particular brand, I won't mention the name, but they had pink ribbons on
their lid. Oh, I know
that.
I've seen that.
Their lid. But
yeah,
guess what? It was donation. You know, if you bought that product, it would be
if you saved the lid.
Certain,
yeah, I think it's
would be donated to the breast cancer cure, search for the cure. Well, ironically, what they don't know is that aspartame caused breast cancer in the original lab testing. So you've got the product saying that they're going to help find a cure for breast cancer, and it contains a substance which is acknowledged to be one of the triggers for breast cancer. I mean, that is just bizarre.
That always amazes me that you have so many products that are on the market that have, you know, these, you have these products on the market that are supposed to be supporting cancer research and so on and so forth.
Right.
And then you see the diet versions that have the aspartame. I mean, all of the major brands, Yoplait, Danone, all of them have the artificial sweetener in them. I mean, you could go on Google and just look up the images and you could see it for yourself. But,
right.
You know, these are things that people just really need to start paying attention to and make your decision matter when you purchase products, folks. That's the best that I can tell you. Mary, we are actually out of time, and I just want to say thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's been wonderful having you. Can you just give our audience your website information and your book again?
Yes, it's been my pleasure, June. Thank you so much. My book is Deadly Deception, Story of Aspartame. Our website is aspartamesafety.com. And also, I have a personal blog spot on Blogspot. It's Stoddard's POV. And on Twitter, I'm Mary Stod, M-A-R-Y-S-T-O-D, on Twitter. And look for me there and click follow if you want to do that. I would love to get with you if you're having a problem or you want to inform yourself more on this, or especially if there are children involved. And thank you for the opportunity, June. I really appreciate it.
It's been great talking to you today, Mary. And once again, always great information, especially someone who has been fighting this battle for such a long time. And folks, thank you so much for tuning in today. This has been June Stoyer with the Organic View Radio Show. Have a great afternoon.